everybody. This is DJ Bubbles, and you're listening to The Chatterbox every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. only at radio.dominican.edu. So how is everyone doing? It's finally starting to look like fall. It started to rain last night here in the Bay Area, which is not really good for me because I'm not really prepared for it, but I'll get on that. So we have a lot of things going on just today. Specifically, we have the presidential debate that's coming up. Like tonight's gonna, I'm like watching, it's on YouTube right now, except I can't hear anything, which is totally all right. We've got the Giants game going on too. So thank you to the listeners who are listening to me right now, which I really appreciate the support. The presidential debate is really, really important. The Giants game is super important to a lot of you sports fanatics. So that's all going on. And then we also have my show going on. It's crazy nuts. But thank you guys again for listening to my show. So again, you are listening to The Chatterbox here with me, DJ Bubbles, only at radio.dominican.edu. So we'll just go ahead and get started. And as always, I always start talking about the TV shows that I watch. Now, you got Once Upon a Time, you got Vampire Diaries, and don't forget, ladies who love this show, Pretty Little Liars, the Halloween episode, will be on tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Don't forget, because someone's going to die in that episode, and I want to know who it's going to be. So you can see now the presidents are getting ready. The moderator announcer's right there talking. Don't know what he's saying, but that's going on right now. So make sure you guys check it out. I'm actually not a registered voter, just to be real honest with everyone. And if I was, I don't know who I'd vote for. Even if I was registered, I probably wouldn't vote. And speaking of voting, before we actually get into the nitty-gritty of the TV shows, there is Vote Smart tomorrow. So DU students, if you guys don't know what that is, you better go. Vote Smart's a place where you can go, and it's like really cool system where you get like to vote for certain things. Like there's going to be certain presentations by certain students about certain issues. And then they're also probably going to have who would you vote for, either Obama or Romney? Because when we had the governor's debate here, we had Jerry Brown and Meg Whitman as the two people we could vote for, and Jerry Brown won according to Dominican students. So that was really cool, and he actually won in the long run. So that was really cool to have them here. And so they're going to do the same thing tomorrow, but just a little bit different. We were actually in the running for the presidential debate, but they're obviously in Florida right now, which is where I'm going soon, very, very soon. So I'm really, really excited. So anyways, back to the TV shows that I said we were going to talk about first. Let's start with Vampire Diaries, because that was the oldest TV show. So my shows are on Mondays, and then the show came on Thursday. So I wasn't able to watch it, of course, because I did have work on Thursday nights, but I did catch it the very next day. I actually stayed up until about 2 o'clock in the morning waiting for the CW website to post the actual episode, but I got really, really tired, and I just decided, I'll just wait till tomorrow. I tried, so I'll just wait till tomorrow, and it was a really, really good episode. Now, if you haven't seen the very first one, please exit the room. Or you can listen if you want me to spoil it for you. That's totally fine. Like, you're going to find out anyways. So, Elena is now a vampire, as I kind of expected, and I'm sure a lot of you listeners have expected it too. So now she's a vampire, and she's trying to cope with everything. So, you know how Stefan does the animal diet. Well, Elena's on the animal diet now. However, she cannot hold the blood down. So that, you know, Stefan's thinking just because it's hard at first, it's really, really hard. But as the episode continues, it doesn't stop. And so Damon is telling Elena, you need human blood, you need warm blood. And he brings her, So they have a ceremony for the people who passed away in the big explosion fire that the pastor set off, which was really stupid. But so they're all having like a memorial for them, and they all go to the church. And then we meet this girl, the daughter of the pastor who, you know, committed suicide. And I guess Elena used to babysit her when she was really little. And so they're like good family friends, whatever, whatever. But we have a new threat in Mystic Falls, and that is the new vampire hunter. I don't exactly remember his name because obviously I don't care about him. He can't hurt anybody. Well, I mean, he can, but I don't want him to hurt anybody. So we have a new threat in Mystic Falls, and it's going to get pretty intense now that, you know, the kids are starting to figure out who it is, and a lot of craziness already happened with the vampire hunter. So, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But anyways, Tyler, okay, the vampire hunter goes to the mayor's house, obviously, and that's Tyler's mom, because his dad passed away. And the mom's not going to let him in, but the vampire hunter forces himself into their house. And obviously, Tyler and Caroline are upstairs trying to get it on, but then they don't. And so then Tyler comes downstairs, and he shakes the vampire hunter's hand, and he's in a lot of pain. So then he shoots Tyler, and then, yeah, that was not okay. So the vampire hunter knows something, but Tyler's a hybrid. He's not just a vampire. He's also a werewolf. Anyways, so while that happened, then you got Elena and her dealing with all of the new vampire things. Everything is heightened for her, according to Stefan. So touch, scent, taste, everything. Hearing, everything is heightened for her. And, you know, things get a little heated between them in a sexual kind of way. And then that's when Elena starts to cough up the animal blood that she can't keep down. So now that they're at the memorial, and Elena's going nuts when she talks to her life or her, you know, the girl she used to babysit for. She starts to look at her wrist and she can see the veins and she's having a hard time. So she just like takes herself away so she doesn't hurt her friend. And then she goes into the bathroom and again, she can't keep the blood down. So she coughs it up in the bathroom. And ironically enough, here comes the vampire hunter and he's like, I need to use the bathroom. Right. So then she just hold on just a second. And so then she's calling Damon. She's like, I need a new dress. I need blood. Give it to me. Hurry up. I'm scared. And so finally, Damon comes to the rescue, gives her the dress. And the vampire hunter's a little suspicious of Damon. And, you know, the vampire hunter wants to shake Damon's hand. But Damon's like, oh, I'm a germaphobe. Good call on that one, Damon. You're very smart. So then Elena comes out. She cleans all the blood that she coughed up. Cleaned it up. She got changed. And then they leave together. And so then Elena gets... Damon had brought her a blood pack and drinks that. Also, if you guys didn't know, or if you guys already know, she actually drank some of Damon's blood. Now, that's... According to Stefan later on in that episode, it meant a whole lot to Damon. Now, I'm not exactly sure what they mean by that. So... I'm thinking maybe it has something to do with like maybe like a bond or because if you saw Damon's face, it was like he was in ecstasy kind of thing. And he was like really, really enjoying Elena drinking his blood. So I don't know if it means like a relationship kind of thing or a bond or I don't know exactly what it means, but hopefully we'll find out later on in the season. So Stefan's, of course, mad at Elena because she wasn't being honest with him. I mean, I can see his side because, you know, I don't want anyone to lie to me about something. But then I can also see Elena's side because she didn't want to upset him, but that only caused him to be more upset. And it was just all crazy. But, you know, the pastor's daughter that I mentioned, well, the vampire hunter just shot her and she started to bleed because the vampire hunter wanted to trap those that were in the church because he had a feeling there were some vampires in there. So it started to work because all like Caroline, Elena, Stefan, Damon, Tyler, they all could smell the blood that was dripping from the above because there was like a balcony seating and stuff. And so that's where the blood was dripping from the ceiling because the pastor's daughter was there. And so vampire hunter had gun ready and everything and nobody fell for it. But I really have to give props to Matt or Maddie, like I like to call him. He let Elena feed off of him. Because she needed warm blood. And I guess that's his way of making up to what happened to her. Or he's trying to redeem himself. And I definitely give him props to that. And I'm glad Elena didn't go overboard. Because it looked like she was about to. And he was going to like pass out. And then it made it look like she was just like Matt was just consoling and comforting Elena because of all the people that they lost, because she was about to go crazy if she didn't get any of her blood. So that's what happened in The Vampire Diaries. I know a little took a little longer to talk about that, but it was a really good episode. And so now Thursday is going to be the new episode, and he's going to go up to Matt, and I saw like a knife in hand. So things are about to get even more crazy and intense. You got to watch it Thursday nights, 8 o'clock on the CW. 44 cable 12. Yeah, that jingle. Anyways, so the other show that I wanted to talk about was Once Upon a Time, and that was on last night, and I was able to watch it in the comfort of my room, no one around. Sometimes it's really nice to watch a show by yourself, because then you can comprehend everything and you don't have your friends asking any questions. But it's also nice to have your friends go with you, because then you can also figure everything out as well. So in this episode that I'm super excited for, Captain Hook makes his appearance in this episode. And I believe the episode is called The Crocodile. I'm not quite sure. But oh my gosh. Let me just say, oh my gosh. Captain Hook is so sexy. He is so cute. I definitely want to be a pirate. I posted a picture on my Facebook and I was like, he's hot. I want to be a pirate now. And a lot of my friends like the picture. He's just so cute. But yes, Captain Hook did make his appearance. And who else but Captain Hook? You come with Smee too. So Smee was in the episode as well. Didn't really think about that one, but they mentioned it. It was really nice. So we actually don't get to see Snow and Emma in this episode. They show a picture of them in a frame, and that's all they show. So they're nowhere to be found right now. That's not part of the story. But basically, you know, Belle and Rumpelstiltskin have they get into a fight, and so Belle leaves. But then Smee actually kidnaps her, and it was of Belle's father's doing. So Belle's dad told Smee to kidnap her and to get away from Rumpelstiltskin, and he even had the nerve to what he did was he told Smee to put her in the mines on the cart, and then they were going to go underneath the tunnel, and so she was going to pass over the line of Storybrooke, and she was going to forget everything, her past, her fantasy past. She's going to forget everything. Now, that's really not cool, especially, you know, Belle hasn't seen her dad in such a long time, and, you know, I thought family was supposed to stick together. I know dad wants what's best for her. However, you know, she comes up and says, no, I have nothing to do with Rumpelstiltskin, but she doesn't exactly say that she doesn't love him, because the dad was saying, you better not love him, but she does still care for him, even though he was being such an idiot and he does magic and all that good stuff. So then Prince Charming is working in the mines, and he's trying to save Belle, and Belle meets Ruby, and it was a really good episode. But then you also see the backstory of Rumpelstiltskin and Captain Hook and why they do not like each other. And Rumpelstiltskin used to be a very big coward. And I'm not saying used to, he's still a coward, and he admits it to Belle when he's trying to make it up to her, when he gives her the key to the library so she has something to do. However, he's still a coward and all that good stuff. So basically what happens in the past in Fairy Tale Land before all the Storybrooke stuff happens, Rumpelstiltskin's wife is not happy with the life that they have. And so she meets these pirates, and of course she meets Captain Hook, but his name is not Captain Hook right away. It's Killian. And I think that's a pretty cool name. Killian's a really cool name. Anyways, so his name is Killian, and he talks about all the places that they've been to. And she wants adventure in her life, and she's not happy with the life that she has with Rumpel and her son, which kind of sucks, but, you know, it is what it is. And so then one day, so it was the next day, this woman comes to the door and tells Rumpelstiltskin, you know, your wife was kidnapped by the pirates. So he goes and tries to get her, but he has to fight for her, and yet he's so scared to sword fight with Killian or Captain Hook, and he doesn't do it. So he loses his wife, and he has to tell his son that, you know, she's not going to be there. Well, they leave, and then that's when he becomes the Dark One. So he was normal before, he was a normal man, but then once he got the dark powers, he became, you know, the Dark One, Rumpelstiltskin, you know, and everyone's afraid of him. Well, the ship comes back. Okay, so Captain Hook and his crew come back, and he's actually at a bar, and that's when you meet this man with a magic bean. Well, he actually turns out to be Mr. Smee, but he doesn't work for Captain Hook yet. So Mr. Smee says he has this magical bean, and so Rumpelstiltskin says, oh, yo, I'll turn your clock backwards so you can start young, and then you grow old. So you, it's not exactly eternal life, but you can start over from the beginning. So they had a deal. Well, that means that the ship is back. And because, you know, the ships go to far off places and they, you know, they get these things that they don't know about. Well, then Rumpelstiltskin sees Captain Hook walk in. He has this grand old idea. So he, you know, he leaves the bar, and then the pirates are, you know, are outside too. And so Rumpelstiltskin's walking with his hood over. And then, you know, Captain Hook's like, oh, you shouldn't have passed me. You know, that was rude, blah, blah, blah. And then he reveals himself to be the Dark One. And so then they say, oh, then Rumpelstiltskin says, meet me here in, like, crack of dawn so we can sword fight. Well, he finds out that his wife is dead, okay? And so Rumpelstiltskin's, of course, upset, so he's in a fight. So then the crack of dawn, they start fighting, but it looks like Captain Hook is going to lose because Rumpelstiltskin has all these good powers. Or not good, but they're dark powers, and it's powerful. And then all of a sudden, you see his wife pop up, and she tells him to stop. He gets more aggravated, and he's about to take out Captain Hook's heart. That was not okay. So then they're on the ship so he can get the magic bean. And what happens is his wife or his ex-wife was saying, you know, I'm so sorry that I lied and I wasn't dead. But, you know, he's not going to forgive her. And then he's trying to get the bean and everything, and so he just wants to come for the bean, then he's going to leave. So they had a deal. But then, of course, Rumpelstiltskin, being a man with words, he kind of twists things around, and in the end, he takes out his ex-wife's heart and crushes it, and so she dies. And Captain Hook is so upset because they loved each other. And so now Rumpelstiltskin tells Captain Hook, I'm going to make you suffer like you made me suffer. And then what happened was Rumpelstiltskin cuts off his hand, Captain Hook's hand, because he wasn't going to give him the bean. And that's how he became Captain Hook. Killian becomes Captain Hook now. And so, of course, it's going to hurt when you get your hand chopped off. But when Rumpelstiltskin goes back to his workshop, he finds when he unfists, I guess, Captain Hook's dead hand, the bean is not there. And then at the end of the episode, you see Captain Hook throw the magic bean into the water, and they're going to go to Neverland. And so it basically ends right there. However, I'm not going to give away the details about the very, very end. But just know that you will see Korra again. She's not gone completely. So just keep that in mind. So that was Once Upon a Time. So those are the TV shows that I watched. Again, don't forget to watch Pretty Little Liars tomorrow, 8 o'clock on ABC Family, because it's the Halloween episode and someone is going to die. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about different body language that guys have and what it means. We're also going to talk about the foods that you just need to stay away from completely, and a couple other few things as well. And don't forget, I have my hottest celebrities, and you guys will probably, you will enjoy them. Not probably, you just will enjoy them. So you are listening to radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ Bubbles, and you're listening to The Chatterbox. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Hey, what up, girl?
Glasses, I'm out the door. I'm gonna hit this city.
Let's go.
Before I leave, brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack. Cause when I leave for the night, I ain't coming back. I'm talking toes, toes, clothes, clothes, bones, bones.
Polisha us down. Welcome back to the Chatterbox here with DJ Bubbles, only at radio.dominican.edu. And yes, you did hear me singing a little bit. I apologize if it was really, really bad. But it's kind of an awkward song to sing to. But I do love it. I love Kesha. She's really cool. So before we took our break, I was talking about all the different TV shows that I'm watching and keeping up with. So Once Upon a Time, Vampire Diaries, and Tomorrow Will Be Pretty Little Liars. Now, I did mention that we were going to talk about the hottest celebrity and the body language and what it means and foods to stay away from. So let's just go ahead and get started. So I guess we'll start with the hottest celebrities of the week, because I know you're dying to know. And I decided to choose two people that you might not know and you might not hear of so much. But I've noticed this woman on Revlon commercials a lot lately, and I think she's really pretty. And her name is Olivia Wilde, and so she is your hottest female celebrity of the week. And your hottest male celebrity of the week is Colin O'Donoghue. Colin O'Donoghue, and that's none other than, of course, Captain Hook, that's on Once Upon a Time. So he was just too good looking to pass up, and so he is your hottest male celebrity of the week. And again, your hottest female celebrity of the week is Olivia Wilde. So those are it. I hope you guys enjoy them. I know I do. And because we're talking about the celebrities, I did want to tell you ladies, unfortunately, that Justin Timberlake is now married to Jessica Biel. So they had their wedding and they look really happy through pictures. Excuse me. So congratulations to the two of them. I hope they have a wonderful and happy long life together. So ladies, you're going to have to find someone else to swoon over, because he's really, really taken. Not that he's broken up. He's not divorced yet. We'll see how that goes. He is married. He is completely committed to Jessica. So ladies, go find someone else. Go look up Colin O'Donoghue. He's gorgeous. He's sexy. Come on. What's not to love? So that's just a little bit of celebrity gossip, and that's just a little bit of celebrity news going on. Not too much this time, just because there's too much and you just want to know the important stuff. So hopefully the Giants game is going really, really well. I actually don't know what the score is, so if you guys can tell me, let me know. You can call in at 415-482-3587 if you want to talk to me, or if you want to just bring up something you want to talk about. That's totally cool. I'm fine with it. So we can just go ahead and continue. I did want to make a quick announcement. Don't forget, DU students, trick-or-treat for canned goods. Do it. It's a lot of fun. You'll still get candy out of it when you go trick-or-treating. Seriously, I got candy when I did it. It was a lot of fun. And you're helping the community, and you're helping a lot of people who need the food. So trick-or-treat for canned goods. Get a hold of Miss Brittany Lyons. She is in charge of it. Make sure to talk to her if you want to participate. So we'll go ahead and continue. So we'll go ahead and talk about the five foods you should never, ever eat. Now, this is for men and women. Just stay far away from it. Just don't eat it ever. So this article is actually from Cosmopolitan. And I actually have two articles, so this one and another one. So the five foods you should never eat. The first one is artificial sweeteners. In small doses, sugar is totally fine, but it gets a little dicey when you have too many artificial sweeteners. Here's the deal. Sweeteners are way sweeter than sugar, and they can reset your taste buds to crave sugary foods. As a result, you end up eating more junk. Plus, people who limit their artificial sweetener use find that they have more energy and don't have as many cravings. So just stay away from artificial sweeteners as much as possible. Like, you know, those little sugar packets that you see at the restaurants for like iced tea or coffee. Stay away from those. Just use regular pure sugar. It's a whole lot better than the actual artificial stuff like Splenda. The next one is margarine. Most of us think it's a healthy alternative to butter, but margarine has loads of trans fat, which increase your cholesterol, and it contains a lot of ingredients versus butter's one or two. The calorie count is also similar to butter, but we tend to eat more of it because we think it's healthier. Your best bet, stick with small dose of butter or use heart-healthy olive oil. Now, olive oil is actually really, really good. I enjoy it. Like, you know, when you dip bread into olive oil at like Italian restaurants, that's really, really good. Just stay away from the margarine. I know it's good. I know you use it to make macaroni and cheese, and that's super duper delicious. But just stick to butter. Both margarine and butter are still unhealthy, both of them. But I guess butter is the better alternative if you need butter on your toast or something. Also, the other thing you need to stay away from is soy protein isolate. All soy isn't bad, but the isolate, which is a refined, often genetically modified form of soy that pops up in a lot of soy-based products, resembles estrogen, which is iffy. Some research has shown that it can increase the risk of cancers and infertility in women. If you want to go vegetarian, opt for veggie burgers with quinoa, chickpeas, or quinoa, I hope I said that right, chickpeas or black beans as a base, and eat protein bars that are based on nuts and seeds. And for meat substitutions, go for beans, nuts, seeds, nut butters, and natural sources of soy like edamame, I hope I said that right, I probably didn't, tofu, and tempeh? You know, they have some words that I just can't pronounce, and maybe I've heard of them before, I just never seen them spelled, so I apologize if I'm saying that wrong. The next one is diet foods. Stay away from diet foods. Now, that sounds really weird, but just listen. Unfortunately, quote-unquote diet or quote-unquote low-fat doesn't mean low-calorie. Diet bars and low-fat foods like yogurts usually have more sugar, salt, and unhealthy filters to make them taste okay. Even worse, we typically eat double the serving we should because we're not satisfied or think that it's okay to eat more because it's healthy. Now, I've been guilty of that every once in a while, you know, when I'm eating like diet foods. I'm like, oh, I think it's fine. I could eat a little bit more because it's a diet food. But that's not the case. Obviously, I've been there, done that, and don't ever do it again. I know sodas because they do have like the artificial flavors in it. I've heard pros and cons for like sodas because if you drink the diet sodas, it like causes your cravings to go down, but then if you drink more of it, it's not good, and it's just really hard to figure out sometimes. What I've been doing is for protein, like I've mentioned protein in a couple of these, I have like Muscle Milk, so before, like if it's like it's a substitute for my breakfast sometimes, and then, you know, I'll have like cheer practice in the morning, or I'll have Turbo Kick later on in the day, and that helps. I think it's helping me, I'm not quite sure yet, don't have a scale in my dorm, I just don't. And the last food to stay away from are frozen meals. Now, I know my mom had mentioned this to me before because I am trying to watch what I eat, but frozen meals contain a lot of sodium, so let's just see what this article says. These babies are convenient, but are often heavily processed and filled with fat and salt. Instead of going this route, instead of going the frozen meals route, make a big meal like a yummy super stew at home when you have some downtime, portion it out, and freeze the servings. Frozen fruits and veggies are okay too, as long as you look for options without added sauces or salt. So yes, my mom was right. Of course, she's right about a lot of stuff. And it contains a lot of salt, and there's a lot of other food that contain a lot of salt, lots of sodium, lots of fat. Just don't eat it. And it doesn't even look that appetizing. They show a picture of like turkey with gravy, small portion of mashed potatoes, and then corn. doesn't really even look that good. Like today, I've just been eating, I had like a salad, and like for lunch, I had a soup and a half a salad. I accidentally put too much dressing on it, so I didn't eat like the salad, all of it, because that was way too much. And then the soup was just cream of mushroom. That's not really a good thing because it's like cream and it's made with like heavy cream, whipping cream, whatever it's made with. But there was like no flavor to it and it was a little bit watery and I didn't even get like a ton of it. So I had my portions correct. And then tonight for dinner, I had grilled chicken and I did treat myself to a small piece of cornbread just because Caloriga never, ever, ever has cornbread and it was so good. And that was all I ate and I had a glass of milk. So I'm good. I'm full. It was nice. So those are the five things you need to stay away from. So for the frozen meals, the isolate soy, the artificial sweeteners, the diet foods, you got to stay away from all that stuff. Just trust me because it will help you in the long run if you are trying to lose some weight. And margarine, also margarine. Keep away from that. So that was the article from Cosmopolitan. And I thought that was pretty interesting. I mean, I've heard pros and cons about some of the stuff, like the diet foods, the artificial sweeteners. For a while I thought margarine was better than butter, but apparently it's not. So butter is better if you have to have it. And I don't really drink a whole lot of soy stuff. Like, I'll drink soy milk every once in a while, but that seems to be okay because it's supposed to be good for you. And it tastes really good too. Like, the silk milk, the chocolate flavor and the vanilla flavor are really good. They also have like an almond milk now by Silk and it's supposed to be really good. And they have some fruit smoothies now. I don't know. They come up with all kinds of stuff for food. So make sure to stay away from those. And just a fun little fact. If you haven't listened to my show before or if you know me or whatever, I have been accepted into the Disney College program. I've mentioned this a few times throughout my show, and I even had a Disney day. I think it was probably my second or third show, which was really awesome. But 78 more days until I leave and get there, and I'm so excited! I can't believe I'm going to Florida. So speaking of the Disney, you know, it's a little countdown for you guys. So I'll be leaving in 78 days. But now that we're talking about Disney, I did see something very, very interesting and very cool too. I know one of my friends, her name is Kendall, and she's actually in New York right now. So it kind of all ties together. So this article is from disneyparks.disney.go.com. And it's basically a Disney Parks blog. That's what it is. And there's a article and it says, Giant Ice Castle in Times Square kicks off the limited time magic at Disney Parks. So it says, we have 52 weeks of magical surprises planned for you at Disney Parks in 2013. And there's some pictures of this ginormous ice castle. So it's a Cinderella ice. It's a Cinderella castle, but it's made of ice. So I'll go ahead and read a little bit of that. It's actually a pretty short article, so I'll just go ahead and read most of it verbatim. Regular blog readers already know that next year is a momentous year. New Fantasyland, the largest expansion in Magic Kingdom park history at Walt Disney World Resort, and the first full year of reimagined Disney California Adventure Park. And now, we're adding limited time magic featuring unexpected experiences with an extra sprinkle of pixie dust at Disneyland Resort and the Walt Disney World Resort that'll appear and then disappear when the next debuts. As part of this morning's Limited Time Magic announcement, Mickey and his pals helped unveil a three-story castle in the heart of Times Square in New York City. The fairy tale castle is made of 45,000 pounds, yes, you heard correctly, 45,000 pounds of ice, and will be visible for a limited time thanks to warm autumn weather. So what can you expect with Limited Time Magic at Disney Parks when it begins in January? Here's an idea. So I already know a couple, just letting you listeners know, I already know a couple of things that I'll be able to experience when I'm in the college program. But there are a couple things that I'm going to miss. Like, I'll just miss one of these things in September 2013. It's a bummer, but it'll be okay. So the first one is True Love. Celebrate romance and enchantment throughout Valentine's Week with special moments and entertainment geared to lovebirds. Disney princes join their princesses to meet park guests in special settings. Pre-fixed menus turn up at select restaurants, and Valentine's collectibles will be offered throughout the week. Independence Week. It's red, white, and blue as Disney Parks salutes America with a 4th of July fireworks party. For an entire week with patriotic lighting, bathing the Disney castles on both coasts, Mickey Mouse appears in his patriotic finest, and guests will find special USA shirts, ear hats, and other limited edition souvenirs. We also have Long Lost Friends Week. Lesser known Disney characters will move from the shadows to the spotlight, meet and greets on both coasts. Photo ops with characters that include will be Flick, Clarabelle Cow, Remy, Tweedledee, and Tweedledum, and they'll surprise and delight guests. And Disney guests even have the chance to vote online for which characters they want to see. I definitely have to check that out. That'd be really fun. And you listeners, if you're Disney freaks, Disney fans, definitely vote for who you want to see if you're going to be in Disneyland during 2013, or if you're going to be in the college program like I am. So you got to make sure to vote. And we also have Pirates Week. Well, that'll be very interesting. Why talk like a pirate one day when you could celebrate these scallywags all week long? The adventures of Jack Sparrow come to life like never before during a bi-coastal buccaneer bash in which Disneyland and Walt Disney World become pirate palooza, pirate bands, pirate meet and greets, and more. So I'm sure Captain Hook is in there somewhere, but it's not the Captain Hook from Once Upon a Time, unfortunately. But, you know, it's the lovable Captain Hook from Peter Pan that we all grew up with and was such a joy. Also, we have three more things and then we're good to go. So we have Dapper Dan Sing Boy Bands. I'm really excited for this one. The Dapper Dan, the iconic quartet from Main Street USA, will add a special finale to their show, claiming the title of the original boy band and delivering a medley of hits from One Direction, NSYNC, and Backstreet Boys. I'm really looking forward to that because I love NSYNC and I love Backstreet Boys. One Direction, not a fan of them. They're just wannabe NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. No offense. We also have Unleash the Villains. Friday the 13th in September 2013 is a special day, so Disneyland Park and Disney's Hollywood Studios, which is in Florida, are staying open until the 13th hour, which is 1 a.m. Maleficent, Captain Hook, Jafar, and other Disney villains host a dance party, complete with limited edition collectibles and other nighttime mischief. And the last one is the Golden Horseshoe Revue, I guess I said that right. The fabled Frontierland show returns to Disneyland Park for 1 month only, bringing back the corny jokes and enduring songs that were often enjoyed by Walt Disney himself. So you guys, make sure to keep in mind all this good stuff that's going to be happening within 52 weeks, or it's going to start in 52 weeks, or yeah, I don't know. Is it 52 weeks? Whatever they said at the beginning. So it says we have 52 weeks of magical surprises planned for 2013. So it's 52 weeks worth of awesomeness. I'm definitely looking forward to the Dapper Dans. Not so much the Valentine's Day, but I actually kind of am a little bit because the princes are going to be with their princesses, and I definitely want to meet. Hopefully Flynn Rider will be there because I heard he's not there anymore, and so I really want to meet him. Prince Eric, Prince Philip, Naveen. I got to write all these down. So that's just going on with the Disney. And I mean, I'm going to be there in 78 days. And that's super exciting. And I'm really looking forward to it. So now we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, I will be talking about the body language that guys use. And so we're going to have a body language decoder for you ladies. So make sure to stay tuned for that. And you're listening to radio.dominican.edu with me, DJ Bubbles, on my show I like to call The Chatterbox. So stay tuned. Hello. Welcome back, everybody, to the Chatterbox here on radio.dominican.edu. And I'm DJ Bubbles, your host of the Chatterbox. So before we took a break, I was talking about the Disney big 45,000 pounds of ice that's made up into a castle in Times Square in New York City. 78 more days until I go to Walt Disney World to work as an intern. And I talked about the five foods you should stay away from. So before I went to the music and the break, we were going to talk about my last topic, which is actually going to take quite a bit. So stay with me, guys. Ladies, stay with me. But it's going to be the body language decoder. And so this is from Cosmopolitan. And it's actually a really, really good source. They even give you, like, you can even print out different tips. So if you really want to, like, study body language, this is a great way to do it. I actually read through most of these. There are different categories. So there's first meeting, there's dating, seriously involved, in bed together, and on the rocks. We're not going to go over all of them, especially not in the bed together one. Definitely not. Maybe just the first meeting and the dating, and then maybe on the rocks if we do have a little bit of time, because we do have only 14 minutes left. So we'll just go ahead and start. So we're going to start with the first meeting category, and there's 11 different tips, and I'm not going to read through all of them because it's going to take quite a while. But just, you know, if you want to check it out, I'll post it on the Facebook page. I'll also post it onto my WordPress blog. You can also follow that. It's called the chatterboxradio.wordpress.com. And then I also have the Facebook page, the Chatterbox. So make sure to check it out because I need some love on it too. So we're going to head again started, like I said. So for the first meeting category, the first one is he positions his chest and shoulders towards you even if he's looking at something else. And that means, basically what it means is that, you know, he's paying attention to you. It says, whatever a boy aims his upper body at is the most meaningful thing in the room to him. So if one night a tasty man morsel approaches your posse, you and your friends won't need to fight for the fella's affections. Study his body language and you'll already know who he's after. He holds a long, piercing gaze. Although you may think he's smitten, he could be playing you. Holding intense eye contact for more than 5 seconds doesn't happen naturally, so he may be using that as a seduction technique to get you to bed. Ladies, stay away. Just watch for that. And then we'll go ahead and skip one. So then the next one is he lifts his eyebrows. When a man sees someone he's into, he'll automatically lift and lower his eyebrows, wrinkling his forehead in the process. But you'll have to keep your eyes peeled to catch a glimpse of this telltale signal. Anthropologists call it the eyebrow flash because it's usually lightning quick and you won't see it that fast. The next one is he stands with his legs spread apart. A guy will often stand with his legs spread apart and pelvis facing you when he's hot for you. It's a primal biological instinct and most guys don't even know they're doing it. So guys, if some of these that I'm mentioning, if you do them or you don't agree with some of them, you can just let me know. Write it on the Facebook page. Like it, the Chatterbox. Like it. You just got to do it. Or you can tell me on my WordPress blog. Just, you know, I'm kind of curious to see what real guys that I know, what they think. And before we continue real quick, I just want to make a couple shout outs to Ryan. I know, thank you so much for listening. I know you're checking it out in Ohio right now. Mom, thanks for listening. Chelsea, I love you and I miss you. We got to talk soon. Kayla, I'm not sure if you have class right now. I'm pretty sure you do. Hopefully you'll be able to come on the show eventually. And all the rest of my DU friends from home, from Vacaville, and all of my new friends I will be meeting in the Disney College program. Hello to you. I hope you guys are enjoying everything. I hope you guys are surviving the wait. So just a couple shout outs real quick. So I'll go ahead and continue with the first meeting category. He stands or sits with his toes pointed toward each other. This means he's feeling a little unsure of himself, so if a boy at the bar is striking this pose, he's digging you, but he needs reassurance that the interest is mutual. The next one is, he has a coy, close-mouthed grin that shows only at the corners of his upturned mouth. Rest assured, he likes you, but he doesn't want to reveal too much too soon. He's probably a bit shy, so he won't put all of his emotions on the line right away. The other one is, he tilts his head slightly to the side when your eyes meet. The head tilt is a subconscious come-hither signal to any I'm sorry. Excuse me. Whew. To any guy has any female the guy has feelings for. So if that man you've been making eyes with for the last hour gives you the head tilt, that's your cue to go in for the kill and introduce yourself or even send him a drink. Next one is he smiles with his top lip stretched wide and his front teeth just barely peeking through. This tight-lipped look is a polite signal that while he enjoys your company, the romantic spark may not be there, but that doesn't mean his feelings can't develop. And the last one for the first meeting category is he has a devilish smirk where he raises the right or left side of his closed mouth. You'll have to play hard to get with this boy if you want to hook him. A guy with a grin like this, like this thrives when presented with a bit of a challenge. Catch him if you can. So those are the few body language decoders for the first meeting category. And so we'll move on to the dating category. And I think this is all the last one we'll have time for. But again, I will post a link onto my WordPress blog and the Facebook page so you guys can check it out for yourselves, ladies. And guys, if you don't agree with something, you can tell me. Like, I want to know. Anyways, so the first one in the dating body decoder category, he extends his palm. When a guy offers his palm to you face up, you know hands down he's hooked. He's literally and figuratively reaching out to the person he's speaking with in an attempt to connect on a deeper emotional level. Even cooler, our brains respond to hand gestures with heightened alertness. Oh, so you'll actually feel the love. The next one is he talks with his hands. A guy who frequently gestures with his hands while speaking is a very good communicator. Between the sheets, this expressive hottie will be attentive and generous. So that I actually do talk with my hands. I'm actually talking with my hands right now. So that obviously means I'm a good communicator. I actually do agree with this one. I feel that if you talk with your hands, you do communicate very well. But, you know, it could be different for certain people. The next one is he proudly holds your hand in public. He wants to show the world that you're his. That indicates that he's a type who craves close partnership. And then the next one is, let's see. His kiss is long and lusty. A full-blown smooch that lasts more than 10 seconds shows he's had sex with you on the brain all day, says Audrey Nelson, a PhD author of Don't Say, Navigating Nonverbal Communication Between the Sexes. The sex sessions are bound to be intense. He licks his lips. A man in lust will literally look like he's hungry because on a carnal level, that's exactly what he is. So if you catch him doing these lip moves while he's looking at you, chances are you're going to have an interesting appetite. Or he does. The next one is he laughs easily. The guy is relaxed and able to be himself with you. He's letting his guard down and is comfortable expressing his emotions, which a man usually does when he's thinking long term, says relationship expert Jeffrey Bernstein, PhD, co-author of Why Can't You Read My Mind? The next one is he slouches his shoulders. When a man finds a woman's actions to be adorable or sweet, he gets the urge to hold her. As a result, his shoulders automatically round off as though he's about to take her into his arms. The shoulder slump does indicate attraction, but even better, with a serious emotional undercurrent. So in case of a long-term lover, his shoulder roll is likely a sign that one of your quirks has tugged on his heartstrings, and if a brand new dude pulls that move, chances are he's feeling a true connection with you. I really like that one, so I gotta pay attention to that. Next one is he has a big, broad expression, often with everything, showing teeth, gums, and cavities. Consider it the wow, you give me butterflies. I'm head over heels smile. If it's accompanied by a hearty laugh, look out. If he were any more into you, he might drop down onto one knee. The next one is he's a combo hug and kisser. It'll be a wild ride with this up for anything boy. Men who do a hug and a kiss combo crave variety and excitement. He's full of surprises, and he needs a woman who can keep up. And then the last one for dating is he sits on his hands. If a guy is sitting on his mitts, he's trying to control what's coming out of his mouth. But this is more about not wanting to screw up than it is about withholding information. He's worried that he's going to do something that will displease you. He wants to put his best foot forward, so he's disciplining himself. So those were some of the tips or the body language decoders for the dating section. And we do have a little less than 5 minutes, so I'm going to head and go on to On the Rocks category, which is when things are going downhill, as you can kind of tell by the title. So there's only 10 of these, so I'm just going to go speed through them real quick. The first one is his kiss is yawn-worthy. If he's scoping the scene while he's planting one on you in public, his mind is on other things. The next one, he clenches his fists. Unconsciously, making fists is a common sign of temper that's teetering on blowing. It's a conditioned reflex for men to prepare for a fight when they're angry. The next one, his jaw is tense. Check out the spot where his jaw meets his cheekbone. If his mouth is rigid and you can see his jaw flexing, it's a sign he's fuming. The next one, he averts his eyes. That was kind of a no-brainer one. But it says, because animosity is so hard to conceal, your guy will reduce eye contact. He's subconsciously aware that one peek into his peepers will reveal his inner grr. For a clue as to whether he's miffed at you or someone else, look into his eyes, since he won't look at yours. If he stares you down the second you catch his gaze, you're probably the object of his fire. The next one, he has a limp handhold. This lackluster approach to connecting physically can be a sign he's trying to pull away emotionally too. The next one, ladies, this is a really, really important one. I will definitely have to look at this, and it's not just for men, it also goes for women as well, and it's just a general body language thing, so this is an important one, so listen up. He looks up and to his left. The next time you ask him a sticky question or he wants to explain himself to you, notice which way he looks. If his eyes move up to the right, he's recalling information from his memory. If he looks up to the left, there's a good chance that he's inventing the answer. And I believe it's looking up to his left, so it's like there. So if you look at your man and he's looking up to the right, that means he's looking up to the left, and that means he's lying. I'm pretty sure that's how it goes. But I wish I would have known this a long time ago. I actually, one of my professors in my photojournalism class, he actually told us about this. And he said, if they look up to the left, they are making it up. If they're looking to the right, they're actually trying to recall what happened. So that goes for anybody. Goes for kids, teenagers, adults, grandparents, whoever, cheaters, non-cheaters. It just goes for anyone. So that was a really important one. The next one, he toys with his ears or his nose. If your guy starts toying with his ears or nose and he doesn't have allergies, be suspicious. When a guy is being deceptive, it's common for blood to rush to his face. His nose and ears will get warm and begin to itch, causing him to unconsciously rub or scratch them. Two more, guys. The next one, he shifts in his chair or taps his fingers. These tics may make it seem like he's just plain nervous, but if they're doing it while he's explaining himself to you, they actually indicate he could be fibbing. The next one, he turns his cheek mid-convo. Occasionally averting his eyes or scanning the room is normal, but if you find yourself talking mostly to his profile, you're in trouble. And the last one is he covers his mouth with his hand. This guy is probably lying. When he unconsciously obstructs your view of his lips, it's a sign that he's trying to block the truth from slipping out. In addition, he might lick his lips and look away from you, directing his eyes down and to the right. So there's, again, with the eyes, you know, eyes can say a whole lot. So make sure to, you know, watch for that, ladies. And guys, it could be the same for girls too. I'm not saying that it's, you know, some of them are actually most just for guys. But, you know, ladies can do it too. We're just as guilty. So that's the end of our show. We have less than a minute left. But I just want to say thank you guys so much for listening to my show, the ones who continue to listen each and every week. I know if you guys are listening, I really appreciate it, especially with the Giants game going on and the presidential debate. All of those things are very, very important. And don't forget to just check out my show every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. If there's not a show going on, I'll let you guys know in advance. And also check out my WordPress blog, thechatterboxradio.wordpress.com. And also check out the Facebook page, The Chatterbox. You can go ahead and like it. Tell me what you want to hear on the show. Tell me what you don't like hearing on the show. If you want to talk to me, let me know. I'm still trying to get some guests on the show. I'm trying to get a couple of my friends to come on. But, you know, everyone's really busy. So, again, thank you guys for listening to The Chatterbox with me, DJ Bubbles. And don't forget, You know, we got other plenty of great student shows throughout the week, so make sure to check radio.dominican.edu. And if you're interested in something, make sure to listen to it. So again, have a wonderful night and see you later. Is that you? Is that you? Is that you? Is that you?